Welcome to Intimate Verses Church. We are full of grace, chosen from a race, mandated to wear a smiling face, for in our midst the Holy Ghost stays. We are blessed and not cursed, lifted and not jilted. We are vessels of gold, intimately filled with the Holy Ghost. We are filled by God's anointing, charged to possess the land, ordained for the job, for such is experience at Intimate Verses Church. John Reverend David Akanwa as he brings to you God's word.
When I was quite younger in this, I used to shout a lot. Every meeting I want power. Every meeting I just want people to fall on the ground. She was there. Every meeting. Until I discovered that people were not making the progress they wanted to. They needed in their lives, because I wasn't arming them with much. I was just all about display. And when I really started seeing success in the lives of people was when I started, okay, now you have come here this Wednesday. Before you leave, what are you going to take out that you can apply? Now, if it is very clear to you and you choose not to apply, at least you know that you're not doing something. I'm also come to find out that when it is not clear about what people will do, should do, they get more confused. When they get more confused, they'll come back to blame the pastor and God. That they keep going to church and nothing is changing. So I always want you to ask yourself when you come to church every time, it's a personal thing. What have I gotten that I will apply next that will change my life? You see, life keeps moving. Nobody waits for you. Life does not wait for you. Nobody waits for you. People are making progress. You can stay in one corner and think that everybody is like you. No. Or everybody, people are, there are people who are applying practical steps in their finance and they are doing good. There are people who are applying practical steps in marriage. They are doing very good. There are people who are applying practical steps in their personal life, steps in their career, businesses, and they are doing very well. Today, the young man, my pastor, chooks that ministered. You know, most of you, as he was ministering, you know, some people were looking at him. And while I was seated there, and I was listening to him talking about giving, shall come back to you. Good measures, praise and shaking together and rolling over. I remembered what happened a couple of months ago. And I think that was sometime in April when somebody gave me a huge seed. So I was in the night thinking of what to do. The person gave me the seed specifically for something. And I was in the night thinking for what of what to do, whether I should divert the money since it's my money. So, and that night, I woke up my wife. I spoke with my wife. My wife didn't really, most times when it has to do with things of the kingdom, I need to make personal decisions. She doesn't interfere. She has a habit of not interfering. She will just not want to talk. She will not, when it has to do with money, what I'm going to do with money, when money comes in, she doesn't talk. She does not remind me that we need to buy this at home or buy that at home. She just wants me to hear God and either invest in the church. Thank you for that. I thank God for you. God bless you. Can you give the Lord a clap of applause? Not every woman. Many pastors, as soon as 1 million comes into their wife, the many pastors' wife, into their husband's hands, that 1 million must be spent in the family. And that is why the man will remain poor. But for her, she just gives space. And she allows me to pray, understand what God wants the money to be used for. Then at that night, I spoke with her. Then by morning, early in the morning, the Lord spoke to me. I know I'm giving this testimony. It's concerning the man that preached. The Lord said, use this money and take care of this. Do what the money was sent for. The person sent you. He said, you see the church building. I'm going to send you somebody from a strange place that will give you money to do that digging. That digging was to cost us 3.something million. And the assistant pastor that preached today now was the one that gave 70% of the money. The man that came down from this altar, this pastor you're seeing that came down from this altar. He was so the office digging, the whole digging, he was the one. So when you see him preach with passion, we preach of the things we have touched. It's not any governor. It's not any commissioner. Somebody will come, there are no big people in this church. Somebody who gives 2 million is not a small man. You think those big men give money? I have pastored some of them. Some of them will give you 20,000 and say they have given you money. It's people who have had a revelation of God. I'm telling you, he just came and said, sir, something just opened up. He did some businesses. He said, I want to give you this. So when he is passionately talking about, somebody will go outside, which car did he park? Or which mighty house is he living in? There are people by their giving, they see higher. Or where is he? Well, what kind of shoe is he putting on? I expect his watch to be Rolex watch. As at the time I was giving crazily, I didn't look like what I was giving. But I know that when a man gives, he gives into what he wants to become. When I give out a car, I am more than a car. When I give out a house, I'm more than a house. When I give out 10,000, I don't think 10,000 will scare me. Because anything you give out, I'm just trying to summarize what he said. Anything you give out, you have conquered. One of the things that happens to people is fear. I'm telling you, one of the things is, I went through it. So I understand that is why, if you notice, we don't just keep pushing people or using this. No. I understand that when it dawns on you. So today, I am going to talk about, I'm going to continue from where he stopped, but the title is Assessing the Blessings of Abraham. What is abundance? Simply defined. Just look at abundance is having more than enough. That's what it is. You have brothers and sisters. You have family members. You have friends. You have your own personal responsibility. If you can take care of yourself alone, are you listening to me? You are not living in abundance. Abundance is not taking care of yourself alone. That is selfishness. There are people that must enjoy from you. You have younger sisters, younger brothers, elder sisters, elder brothers. You have friends, people around. Like I said, there is no way I pay the school fees of my children alone. I'm telling you the truth. There is no way. There is no year I have paid the school fees of primary school. I have paid that of secondary school. I have my children are not yet in the university. In the next 3 years, my first child will enter the university by the grace of God. But I have started sowing into people's lives, paying school fees of undergraduates. So how can I pay school fees of an undergraduate? And when my daughter becomes an undergraduate or my son, and I will lack the money, I am sowing into the future. I am sowing into the future. That's what I'm doing. That is why I will never be poor. I will never be stranded. I will never lack. Never. So I am talking about assessing the blessings of Abraham. Okay. Let's look at this. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Everybody follow me. How do you assess it? I say the blessings of Abraham is a blessing of abundance. Abundance is having more than enough. If you need 1 million to live every month, abundance is having more than that so that you can help others, help the society, help the less privileged. There are people around you that are going through pain. It's not just about you. Help other people. That's what it is. Now look at, I think I've said Galatians. Please be fast. Somebody that is there, concentrate. 3 verse 13. Galatians 3 verse 13. What is the blessing of Abraham? We saw on Sunday that in Galatians 13, the Bible said, and Abraham was blessed in gold, silver, riches. They are physical. If it is spiritual, God will tell us. Every Christian should live comfortably, please. Every one of you. It is not people who are lucky. There is nobody that is lucky. It is either somebody has refused to follow the word of God or has refused to work hard. Diligence is one of our character. You have to work hard. You have to walk uprightly. You have to walk smartly. Look, listen. Let's look at this. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We were under a curse, but Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. So he was cursed for us. So he redeemed us from curse. What is curse? Curses are declarations that affect you negatively. Simple. When I say it will not be well with you and it's not well with you, witches use curses. Native doctors use curses. That is why they can never stop a man's life without calling his name. If they do juju, now your name, the juju is specific. They will call your name, call your name, and they go platter. At times they will blow it into the air. It will locate you where you are on earth. But they must make a declaration because words are powerful. That is why you have to speak good words to yourself. So Christ has everything that has been spoken about us that will be poor, will be sick. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, so Jesus was cursed. He was the curse. So the curse of early death, you will not die early. You will live to declare the goodness of God. The curse, I went to a minister's conference this afternoon. I saw a pastor that I have heard about his kidney or which problem for years now. The man preached and was still bouncing. I was sitting beside, see, healthy. I've been hearing for years. But the man is still moving on. That a symptom is proving this doesn't mean it's a death sentence. That you go and they call it cancer doesn't mean it's a death sentence. Are you listening to me? Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, Revelation chapter 1, I am alive forevermore. So you will not die. I speak to somebody, you will not die. You will live to declare the goodness of God. He was cursed with death when he was on the cross. They hit him with the curse of death. Now, the next thing, he was cursed with poverty. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. So as he hung there on the cross, every curse was upon him. How do you see? Listen. Have you ever seen a family in your village? Three boys. This one put mansion here. Another one mansion. Another one mansion. Do people cross them and say they are cursed? Have you ever seen a family where there are three boys, mansion here, and there are two girls? The two girls are married. One is married to a governor in Anambra State. The second one is married to a medical doctor who owns a large hospital in Lagos State. Then the three boys, all of them, two medical doctors, one a successful lawyer. And you see, I don't mean illegitimate money. You see mansion here. If you're passing their compound in the village, it is like you're passing town briefly. Do you talk to that kind of family and say they are cursed? How do you know cursed? How do you know cursed? Touched house. Is it not touched house? See, that is why Satan does not want us to talk about prosperity. Because when you pass a house and they are touched houses and suddenly somebody decides to start opening foundation. What do you exclaim when you pass? You say, light has come into that family. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it happen to you? You see a house, a village, or a kindred, or a family. Nobody has built anything. It is those old thatched houses. And suddenly, you come back December, you see only foundation. What is the declaration? What declaration do you make? Light has come into that family. So the physical evidence shows you that light has come into the family. When there is no physical evidence, everybody will call it a curse. That's why you see the first thing that happens when there is no progress, you blockade it and say, this will have a problem. They should go and find what is wrong in that family. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's why you see them running from place to place. Because there is no physical progress. Or when people are dying young, or people are not getting married, you say, there is a cause of delayed marriage. There is a cause of delayed marriage. You know, I told us a story of one of my daughters. There was nothing I didn't do. When I say this story, people were like, I decided I was going to personally break a 78-year-old curse. It's supposed to be more than 78 years. They don't know. It was the last they could remember. No woman in that family marries. They They said the last time they remember, for 78 years they have not collected bride price in their family. And this girl was faithful in the choir. She was not one of the best singers, but she was not a bad singer. She was faithful. Would come for choir rehearsal, did her 6 years CEPA, faithful. One of my sons, two of them started going, you know, when young people begin to go this proclaim movement and all that kind of movement. I called the boy. I said, you like her? The boy said, you want to marry her? I said, they graduated. They left. Now, before they graduated, the lady came to me and said to me, Daddy, there's a curse in my family. People don't pay bride price. I said, what? He said, people don't pay bride price. That is how you see when ladies are not getting married. I said, does it mean that people... They said no. He said no. They all run to meet with the man. Anytime the man wants to come and pay bride price, poverty will strike the man. So all their aunties are living without bride. They have not done traditional wedding in their family. They are something even common even Imego, somebody just comes in to say, let me just come and... The moment somebody shows interest, I said, cause to see, leave that Galatians 3:14. Jesus has taken every course. I said, fine. When they graduated, the lady working in Lagos, the guy was working. He was working while he was a student. And then he made some money and all that. The guy went to Lagos. And then, everybody should be careful of this social media thing. I started seeing the lady. The boy called me one time and told me, Daddy, I'm ready to go. I said, fine. Have you spoken today? You know, it's not my duty to tell him. Up to today, the boy does not know about this. It's not my duty. I just knew about it. I kept it. It was not my duty to tell the young man what was going on. It is her responsibility to tell the young man. But I knew. So what happened? I told her, are you ready? I told him, are you ready? He said, yes. Daddy, by next month, I will go. I said, fine. If you're going, I don't go for people's traditional wedding. I want to go with you. Because I love the young man. The young man was a son to me. Real son to me. Liberal at heart. Ever willing to give out anything for the cause of the gospel. He said he's going by the end of next month. Before, in 2 weeks, his business collapsed. I called him after 2 weeks. You were there. I said, my son, are you ready? He said, sir, as he stands, I don't have 5 naira to eat. Hey! I called again. And you know, that lady does not take things serious at all. She started like, hey, daddy, I told you. I said, There are people who accept and cause come up in. And I said, daddy, I told you. You know, me and you started seeing her. She will hang like this on Facebook. Me, I can't come and kill myself. You know. I told her there is something wrong somewhere. I called the boy. You know, I was held by the canonic vow not to tell the boy. I can't be the one to tell him. Why not tell him? I told the boy, see, okay. I told him, what you're going to do, come to Oka. I'll send you transfer money. Enter, come to Oka. If you come to Oka, I will buy the wine. You remember? I will buy the wine. I will buy everything. I want you and I to enter that compound. I will carry you in my car with some pastors. You and I. I called the girl. The girl said, oh, okay now. If he wants to come, I'm here. I will come and kill myself. The thing began to irritate me. Because I was crying more than they believed. Do you know what the boy... I could not tell the boy that there was a curse. Do you know what the boy did? The boy said, no, dad. Dad, I can't bother you now. I was so into church while I was a student. How can I now... I'm in Lagos. How can I collect money from you? I said, no, you are not collecting money. The plan was to enter that family. Let me see that devil that will stop me at the gate. They get there, I didn't do it the thing for what? So he's serious about the hotel. The next, by night, that night, I saw her. She possessed something. I don't know if that when this song was raining, this one, I can't keep myself. You understand? She posted somebody who was on a treadmill drinking. I can't kill myself. I said, oh, this one doesn't want to kill herself. We are here killing ourselves. There was nothing. I spoke to that boy for 3 days. I told him, come. Please, I'm begging you in the name of Jesus. Come down, let's see. He said, Daddy, no. I can't collect money from you. I said, is he not wine? Is he not drink? She had already told her father. When she told her father, the father believed. They attend Pentecostal church. The father believed that this one she just said now, it will happen. Everybody else. Then she later had a sister who attended school here. That one felt it was beauty. That one was more beautiful than her. That one felt it was beauty, sharpness, gra-gra. You know that one. That one started place to place. At a time, she had to leave here because our ministry, actually, people didn't know. She was saying, I'm no longer getting blessed. No. She will follow a man to his... Most of the brothers complained to me that after service, she will follow them. I said, I want to be in your house and cook. So I called her one day. Say, Daddy, my sister told you what happened. I want to marry before I leave school. I want to marry before I leave school. I said, it's not by power. By strength shall no man prevail. Was doing that good. They follow you. They go. It never worked. Now, she has graduated. She has gone back to the same house. Every day I see the two of them. It's a curse. Somebody says it's a spell. It's a spell upon the home. I stand on this altar and declare, every curse, every spell is broken in the name of Jesus. For cursed is he that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham will come upon the Gentiles. Give the Lord a clap of praise, somebody. I have given you an example of a curse, a manifestation of a negative abnormality, something that is abnormal, something that is negative. Poverty is a manifestation, lack of an abnormality. Don't adjust to it. Hey, don't accept it. You can start not having money, but don't stay being poor. Please, it's an abnormality. So he said, because, and now look at it, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. What is the blessing? The blessing is not money. But the blessing produces wealth. The blessing produces health. The blessing produces progress. The blessing produces strength, vitality. That's the blessing. The Bible said the blessings of God make it what? Rich. It's not money. The blessing of God is not money. Anybody who is carrying the blessing, if the blessing of God is money, that means everyone believer has money. No. The blessing produces. He said Jesus was cursed that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, you and I, through Jesus Christ. So we are blessed that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We are blessed. The blessing of Abraham, then the promise of the Spirit through faith. We are anointed, filled with the Holy Ghost, and we have the blessing of Abraham. Abraham was not poor. Abraham was not poor. Abraham was feeding 400 people. 400 men. Foot soldiers he had. 400 of them. Have you seen that Jesus took this curse upon us? Upon himself. He took this curse upon himself. That the blessing of Abraham will come upon us Gentiles. Like my son was saying, how do we assess that blessing? How do we assess that blessing? That's the thing. Because if Abraham go to that Genesis 13. Go to Genesis 13. Go to Genesis 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt and his wife and all he had and Lot with him into the south. Look at verse 2. And Abraham was very rich. The world is very rich. The Bible didn't say spiritually. In cattle, in silver, and in gold. So the blessing of Abraham produced protection from the enemies. Produced riches. See, none of you will be poor here. I declare in the name of Jesus. It produced riches. He said Abraham was very rich. Abraham was in gold, in cattle, in silver. Abraham was very rich. The Bible mentioned it. And don't let nobody take it away from you. And look at, the Bible said Jesus was cursed. He was cursed So that the blessing of Abraham, Abraham was a mighty man. He fought five nations and defeated five nations. In all ramifications, the blessings of God produce prosperity. It produces wealth. It produces our God. We are born again. We are of Christ. We don't need this magomago to succeed. No way. We need to understand how to assess this thing. That's what I'm going to share with us. I think Pastor have started it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 9. 2 Corinthians 8 9. Everybody. He said, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Might be rich. The Bible is saying that through the poverty of Christ coming on earth, and he became poor for our sakes, that we might be rich. So where are people getting this poverty mindset from? Where are they promoting this poverty from? Where are they getting all these theories that Christians should just stay and just suffer from? It is not God, it is Satan. Now, if God has promised us all these things, look at all the scriptures I've read. How do you assess it? The first point of assessing it is being liberal, a giver. Now, see, let me tell you why some people give and they get angry. I'm going to share a scripture with you. Because most of the people, you know, I gave us a story about an old school friend of mine. On social media, you can go and on Facebook and check him out. You will see that he attacks pastors, but he's a Christian. He doesn't actually. He writes terrible things. I told you his story. So normally, when people, he has money. He's a millionaire. When people write terrible things. When I see you attack pastor, any pastor at all, anybody, when I see you and it appears you're my friend, I unfriend you, straight, I don't communicate with you. I have offended tens and tens and even hundreds of people who mock anything church. So, but if I have a connection with you, maybe as an old schoolmate or as a cousin or a brother, or you are my elder brother, sister, or something that is connected beyond, I will send you inbox and tell you that I don't take it lightly if you keep insulting ministers of the gospel. If you insist, I unfollow you. I suspend the friendship. I may not block you, I may not, but others I block. I your friend and I block. So this guy happens to be an old school. And I know at times he writes about Jesus Christ. He talks about Christianity. So one day, he posted the one he posted that touched me. This was happening 3-4 years ago. I replied publicly. These days I don't. If you like, call Jesus Satan. I won't talk to you because there are many demons on earth. So I replied publicly. I said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? He just wrote there, "Man of God, come in." I came inbox. He told me, "Pastor, how are you?" I said, "Fine." I said, "Namde, how are you? Why all this? You're a successful businessman. All you do on social media is just to call Pastor Steve's. Don't you know I'm one?" Hi. The boy gave me his story. He was mentioning him, giving address. My son, he said, "I have a daughter who had what is called natural birth defect. She was given birth to, and the sickness came out with her. And he loved the daughter so much. He said, I took her to a prophet in Lagos. The prophet collected 500,000 from me and said I should put her inside something, something, that by the next day he'll be healed. I took her to another prophet. That one said I should bring 2 million. I had paid him 1.5 million. It didn't happen. He was really now the amount of money these guys were calling. And when he was calling those names, I knew there were these notorious boys everywhere. Collecting from him. And at the time, there was one he said, "Oh, Jesus Christ." And he said to me, At a time I was tired. Somebody directed me to one Presbyterian pastor in Abba, and I went there. And after the man prayed for my child, I brought her money to give him. The man said, no, go and put it in the offering box for the church. When he finished the story, ask my wife. Tears came to my eyes. I started praying for him. He told me, I have known you. Please, allow me. I have known you. There are many of you that are genuine. But you people must find a way to caution these criminals among you. Now, why was did he come to that point? First, we're going to look at how to genuinely assess the blessings of Abraham. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. I want to tell you how to prosper. I want to tell you how to assess this blessing, this wealth. What you need to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. Look at it. Let me tell you why that boy is angry. Somebody didn't teach him right. Somebody didn't tell him how. They will hype him up emotionally and they will pick from him. They will hype funny testimonies and they will collect from him. Look at how a Christian should give. And if you give like this, you will never be poor. You will never come tomorrow and say church collected money from you and ruined your life. You will never. Look at what he said. He said, every man according as he proposed in his heart. Mark this scripture. Let it be your memory verse. Anywhere you go to it. According. I was somewhere many years ago. And one preacher, I knew God had already laid it in my heart to give 20,000. 20,000 was the highest money he was going to call. I didn't know he was going to call that 20,000. And he started preaching. And I noticed there were certain things he was doing which I was not too comfortable with. When he still called 20,000, I came out. Because I had proposed in my heart. Now, I have been a giver. I have been a liberal person all my life. So, proposing something high was nothing to me. I came out. There's another guy who was a manager with Ecobank. He came out. Another guy came out. He said, according to what he has proposed in his heart. Meaning that as you step out, let it be what you have decided. If we call, how many people will give us 1 million? Don't look at somebody by your side to come out. If you propose it in your heart, look at this. So let him give. Look at the scripture. Not grudgingly. Because when he is pressed, he will begrudge. The moment there is grudge, they don't get blessed. That's why they're running from church to church, one prophet to another, who will just talk slowly. Hey, I went to Abba. As I was coming down from the car, one man gave me 1 million and won a contract of 100 million. Hey, what they are doing, they're hyping people's greed. And God is not moved by your greed. God is moved by your faith and by your love. Giving 1 million is nothing. But don't allow this, this person. As one came one day, there's one who kept talking and talking somewhere, and the next day they picked him up and they killed him. They thought he had all that money. He said he was lying to get money from people. How would you? He said, I stepped down here, this person, one man gave 10 million and another, and you see the greed. Be careful. It is not about greed. God is not a kalokalo machine. You don't put 1 naira and you get automatically 1,000. You must understand that God blesses. God blesses. And his blessing maketh a man rich. Wealth that nobody can take away from you. So the moment, like, let me tell you about proposing in your heart. Decide, that word is deciding. Making up. Let me tell you what it means. You see, the church comes out because when church has a project, it is to the church people that the church has to go to. The church can't go to unbelievers. That's why I don't go to government house. I don't go to all these I don't make friends with popular guys in Anambra State. I don't have anybody, a captain of industry. I don't make friends with them. I just stay where I am and mind my lane. When they say, governor called pastor, so commissioner this one called, this big man called for a meeting, I tactfully avoid it. Up to one day, one guy looked at me and asked me, pastor, do you have inferiority complex? I said, look at me from head to toe. Do I look like somebody who has inferiority complex? He said, why? He said that every time you're dodging, you're sneaking. I said, I'm not dodging. I am bolder than you 10 times. But I cannot enter into my vehicle to go and visit one rich man who will keep me at his lobby for 6 hours. Wait till you come out. Hey, the pastor, no, 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 pastors, come. And he starts sharing 2020. For what? I won't do that. As he proposed it in his heart, means if you see a project of 30 million going on, and what you have in your account is 10 million, and you see somebody who just has 30,000, and we start calling from 100,000, and you can't bring out 100,000. You have to decide on yourself, on your own, based on your capacity, or the capacity of your faith. Somebody who has 30,000 will step out. That's all he has. And he steps out to give 50,000. He's giving higher than his physical, financial capacity. He steps out. Then somebody who kept 20 million will still come out and sit down, stand out to give the same 50,000. Yes, he has proposed in his heart, but not according to his financial capacity or the capacity of his faith. He didn't even get to his financial capacity. The person knows. But now, because of this thing people do, that is why God has brought fake prophets. God allowed fake prophets to buffet people. So since you keep 100 million and something is going on, 10 million is needed, you come out, you give 10,000. Then you must sow your seed somewhere. You must give it to something. You must give it to a fig. You must give it somewhere. You must give it somewhere, and you stay through your hard work. That's why God has made it. A person who has all 30 and steps out for 50, believing God for the remaining 20. And somebody who has 100. That is why I have always warned our pastors. You see this scripture. Any pastor that goes against this scripture, I chop open. If I go to your church and I see you harassing people. Hey, you, come and give us 1 million. Hey, if you don't give us 1 million. Hey, you. Or I see you, you get, we have a project of 20 million. Choir. And we need 2 million from you. It's a must. Don't give people targets. I have never given any church here financial target. You see this building? I have never called. What is going on? I got there. Oh, what I saw was massive. I don't even know how it's still going on. As of 3 days ago, I wrote the last check of 220,000 of what I had. Somebody gave us a gift of 2 million, and the last one left 220. And the bill they gave me was more than that. So I was thinking about it. I said, God, we don't want this project to stop. We want to move in there by December. One of my sons told me, sir, this building will continue. Don't allow it to worry you. I got there today. I saw the building continuing. And he now told me something that really made me happy. You know, when people say something, he says, sir, I am going to put 1 million directly from my own account into this building. Sir, I will just go and buy the things required for this. First, give the Lord a clap of praise. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Say, I'm going to put 1 million directly in a week. A week and 2 million left. Emptied. Then he said, I'm going to put 1 million directly. It's what I've decided to do in my own heart. He says, sir, relax. That is what it means to propose. Propose. He cannot do it grudgingly. But look at another. Not of necessity, not under pressure. This is what I don't like. That's why a lot of people think I'm slow. But at the end of the day, they know I'm faster than them. Not out of compulsion. Not out of necessity. For God loveth a what? A cheerful giver. What you have decided. Still after you finish giving in church, you're leaving church and you're frowning. You're angry. The next day you go on Facebook. Facebook friends. I went to church today. I don't know how the man take on this video. I carry all the money where I get from. Go poor, give the man. I don't know what the man put for mouth. I don't know what the man put for mouth. As the man talk, my brain need to work again. Make it a sacrificial thing. And I'm going to finally read this scripture. This is how to assess the blessings. This thing has worked for me. Proverbs 11:25, final scripture. It has worked for me over the years. I've seen it. I've seen the process. It has worked. If you stop, I started practicing it from when I was 17, 18. If it has worked for me, it will work for you. I could remember in 1999, I joined the church. Now, I will read this before. I read this and I will talk before. Wait, just a few things. Let me just say this morning. I joined the church. And then I had left the former church I was preaching. And towards the tail end of 1999, I joined one church. And unfortunately, that church, the pastor wasn't really a giver. This thing hurt me so much. And I knew I didn't really have a future. I loved, you could preach very well, but you have to reflect what you preach. Because if you're not giving, even you as a pastor will be suffering in the midst of plenty. That's why you can tell people, why do people give me? Because I give. Why do people respond? I give. So I can remember we were staying in one hotel, in Owerri, along the Bisse Road. There's this one popular hotel then, and we're staying in the hall downstairs. So when I joined the church, I hadn't attended the church up to 3 weeks to 1 month, and I was taken as one of the assistant associate pastors. 1999, I will never forget that. And we now got a hall. That hall was upstairs. Upstairs. A long one, major road, very close to the market, you know. Upstairs, the last, this is a two-story building. And the hall was two big stores, demarcated by wall. So we needed money to break the wall and rebuild, you know, touch the hall. And I took all the money I had in my pocket. I was running around for that thing. That's me. I was running around. I had to go and convince my sister. My sisters. I could remember I collected 13,000 from Ngozi. I collected 6,000 for this person. And I was bringing to church. That time I didn't know dressing. I just came out as a village evangelist. And the church is a Serere kind of church. Silencer kind of church where everybody said, oh sister, that was my first time of entering that kind of church. I used to be a rural evangelist. So I will come to church and all of them say, hey. I will go out, I will ask how many bags was made. And I rushed into pastor's office. I noticed our pastor was counting money to give somebody to go and bring his suit from Abba that morning. I thought they were joking. By evening, the suit had, when me I was running, I wasn't the senior pastor of the church. And the pastor put on that my five suits. He said that since he has come into a new venue, he put it, I will never forget that this suit will match Sunday. That it needs to be clean. And he did his shoulder. How does it look? He said, he told me, that's why I'm teaching you how to dress. I stand there tired. We are looking for money. We are looking for money. To do church well, my own senior pastor is thinking about suit. Proverbs. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The liberal soul shall be made fat. It starts with your mind. Start working on your mind. Plan something. Practice emptying everything. You won't die. I have done it. I'm used to it. It does not give me malaria when I see my account. It's not because is not because I'm a pastor. He said the liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal soul. As a man proposes in his heart. He that watereth shall be watered. That is how to assess. The first spot of entry, the first door to assessing the blessings of Abraham is your giving, your liberality. Do much more than you can. Give according to your faith. Stretch yourself. You will see abundance. Rise on your feet. Lift up your hands towards the heaven and bless God.